Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the best of the Eagles.
And the Eagles win! The Eagles win!
A weekly mix of Sports Radio 94 WIP's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Empty backfield. Goff back, looks right, looks left, fires over the middle. It's intercepted on a deflection. It is Cooper DeJean across the 15, down to the 11.
That's how you get the party started here at Lincoln Financial.
That's how you do!
Good morning. All right, so we got an 8-2 football team. We also have a squad where, man, oh, man, the defense is just, like, distancing itself from the offense. Or put another way, the offense is distancing itself from the defense. Holy mackerel. All right, Seth Joyner. He knows a little something about that. 1991, defense was unbelievable. Offense, not so much. This offense is better than that, but you guys catch the drift. They are offensively challenged, to say the least. Seth is with us every single Monday in studio and brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, folks. What's going on?
It's all good, man.
Hi.
I mean, it's mostly all good. You know what I mean? I mean, it's...
Hey, like, listen, they're 8-2.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. What can you complain about?
Yeah, pretty incredible.
We're going to find something this morning, though, I can promise you that.
There's no question.
No.
So let's start with the day. I mean, Seth, John was clear in the offseason. He thought they could get back to last year. I didn't think they could. Obviously, for the totality of the season, they won't because they're coming from a hole statistically. But they may be now, and for the rest of the year, may be just as good as they were defensively last year. Do you think that's on point?
I think they're getting there, and I feel like they're going to get better. They're young, a lot younger than what we had last year. The experience and understanding what it is, there's so many moving pieces. You know, it's so impressive to watch them play now. And the one area where they're better, they are better than last year in the run game. You know, I know statistically it doesn't look that way. I think they're giving up right around 118 yards per game going into last night's game. But they held them to 74 total yards on the ground last night.
Yeah, Gibbs had explosive plays, but they were in the passing game. Run game, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, and I thought that was the key, them being able to control the run game. Because if you understand Jared Goff, you know that he can be successful throwing the ball when they're running it, because their entire offense is predicated on their ability to run the football and then him running play action pass. But when you shut them down, I went back and I looked at the three games that they lost, and all three of those games they were under 100 yards rushing.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the blueprint. Now, it's easier said than done because you got to stop those guys from running the football. But the Eagles did that in spades last night, and I think that's why you had – I think Jared had like 37, 38 passes last night. That's up in the arena that you want him at. And you want to be able to keep him in the pocket. He doesn't operate well from the pocket. And once you start getting hits on him, He just comes unglued.
Yeah, he was affected. What's up with the offense, Seth? What is going on?
You know, last night I finally resigned myself. We were talking about it in our post-game show. I resigned myself that this is who they are and this is who they're going to be. After 10 weeks in the National Football League, they're 8-2. And all we've done is complain about how inept they are. And, you know, I just don't, you know, there's no fix in my mind, John, when I think about.
I think last night they got knocked off track from what their game plan was when Lane Johnson went out of the game, because they started the game with an extra lineman in the game. They started the game. They opened the game.
Yeah, I saw that.
The first play of the first 15, Fred is in there as an extra tackle. I think that was a big part of what they were planning on doing. And then when Lane went out in the first quarter, Fred was the guy who'd practiced the extra lineman spot all week long. Now he's moving to your right tackle. So that eliminates that whole set of plays that you were planning
but
on.
But let me just say this, in all due respect, because I agree that's a factor. And I think we all know the injuries are a factor up front.
It doesn't make up for everything.
Well, here's the thing.
But it makes up for some of it.
Fred is getting paid about $1 million. AJ, Saquon, and Jalen are getting paid an incredible amount, and I just don't see it right now.
Well, the money.
This, in my opinion,
because they're supposed to carry. They're supposed to carry the day.
A lot of great offensive players in this league who are getting shut down by defenses in this league. For whatever reason, and Seth probably knows a lot better than I do. Defenses feel like they are ahead.
The problem with the Eagles offense right now is that they do not possess the ball enough. They are 34% in third down conversions.
That's horrendous.
They ranked 28th in the National Football League. Last night, I believe they were 3-for-14 or 3-for-15 or something. Yeah, they don't possess the ball enough to get AJ enough targets.
Yeah.
So that situation calms down. And then to add injury to insult, Nick talked about the shooting themselves in the foot, the pre-snap stuff,
yeah,
the pre-snap penalties that they get, the offsides, the holding penalties, the false starts, and all those types of things.
Another thing that puts them behind.
You can't start a drive off first and 20 or, you know, have a good play and get it called back and it's second and 15.
It's like a sack. It's like those plays put you back like that.
Absolutely.
We were taught that that's almost automatically a punt. Like, as an offensive player, you're taught if you take a sack, if you take a penalty, it really does amount to as good as a punt. Well, so don't let it happen, ever.
It's a sack for some people. You know, if you look at the better offenses, what do? When they get behind the sticks like that, they try to get a little piece of it. On second down, they come back. Yeah. They want to get 7 to 10 yards.
Yep.
Now you cut it in half. If you can go back on second down and you can get 5 to 6 yards, now you're in a much more reasonable situation. But our offense doesn't operate that way. We're always looking for the home run. And when teams get us behind the sticks, they're going to come with pressure. But they have to stop shooting themselves in the foot, for one, with the pre-snap penalties. And they have got to. I am, like, amazed that they're 8-2 being ranked. There's 32 teams in the National Football League. The Eagles rank 28th in the National Football League in third down conversions. Now, as a defense back in our day,
they're not always trying to convert that third. They're trying, in some cases, to get a piece to get it to fourth because they know that they can convert with the tush.
That only increases it a little bit, though, John. It doesn't take them into the top half.
But it is something.
They do play for fourth.
It's even more magnified last night, the fact that the tush push, you know, didn't play out at the rate that it normally does.
That's the problem.
So at the end of the day, listen, third down conversions gives you 4 more potential shots. So when you're only converting at 34%, that's a problem for your offense. And I think in a lot of ways,
it's not good enough.
That's a lot of what, like, I can remember, I don't know, maybe Rhea knows, maybe you even know, John, How many plays on average are the Eagles running this year on the offensive side of the ball? Most good offenses are running anywhere from 65 to 75 plays per game. Yep. I would venture to guess, and I don't even know what the numbers even look like, they are well under 60 plays per game. And it all points back to their third down conversion.
To be fair, though, it also starts on first. I mean, part of the reason you don't convert on third is it's third and long.
69.
Because on first and second, you know what I mean? You didn't do great.
Well, that's true.
Let me ask you that. So, and again, we're going to get to the calls in just a moment.
69
with this,
69 plays?
Last night, he's saying. Yeah.
69 plays last night.
Yeah. But again, that was with a spectacular defensive performance. So you're getting the ball back a lot because the defense.
Absolutely.
You know,
I mean, I was starting to worry because there was, I think, something like 11, 12 possessions. And in the first half, there was 7 apiece.
Yeah.
So I'm watching that, and I'm like, I don't like how many times you're giving the Detroit Lions the football.
All right, so Seth, one more thing, and then we'll get right to the calls. I have the finger, not the finger. I have a finger. Maybe I do have the finger. I have a finger pointed at every – I'm talking – season,
better
not,
than
not
getting
game.
The finger.
Yeah, it is. I have it pointed at everybody but Devontae. And I was thinking Goddard also, but you know, maybe Goddard's blocking's not on the same level. Some of this is unavoidable because guys get older and they get banged up. How much of this, though, in your opinion, is on Jalen?
You know, it's troublesome because I work with the Eagles insider, and you know, we had an in-depth conversation last night in our post-game show. And it seems to him that, you know, there's some consternation when it comes to, you know, Jalen, you know, not only in the locker room, but in the organization. And that's problematic because, you know, from the outside looking in, you would never think that. As a coach's son, you would never think that. There's certain things and certain ways that he likes to run things, and there are things that they run in practice that, you know, they get in the game and he goes off on his own tangent. And to me, that's problematic. I would say that it is a
Are you talking about like the 4th and 6 last week?
Yeah, that and other things. You know, I have it on fact that, you know, the interception that he threw in the first Giants game to Flott on the sideline when A.J. was wide open, that in practice he threw that ball to A.J. a few times. You get in the game and you're not patient enough to wait for it and you throw the out route and it almost turns into a pick six. Then last week, the 4th down, they're supposed to run the slant. You look, A.J.'s, you know, Devontae's wide open. You got Dallas on the other side wide open, and you're chucking the ball 60 yards in the air trying to, you know. So, and Devontae confirmed that 1 and 11 made the change on their own. See, to me, that's borderline insubordination when you're not running plays the way that the coach is drawing them up or you think that you know better than the coach. So he bears a lot of the responsibility. I mean, he wasn't great last night. You know, 50% completion for a guy that's been right around 70 all year. And I get
drops.
It. He got 3 drops. I get it. You know, but that happens to every quarterback. But there are some plays there
really
to
windy.
Be made that he did not make.
Yep,
that he missed.
All right, coming up in a minute, the calls with Seth here for the remainder 40 minutes of the show. That's all up ahead in 1 minute.
I love that Wild Fork Foods is turning up the flavor and savings with their 2 for Less deal. Pick up their USDA Choice Beef Outside Skirt Steak, buy in pairs, and save $1 per pound. Or try their skin-on Atlantic Salmon portions, buy in pairs, and save $1. Visit one of Wild Fork's greater Philadelphia locations and check out their wide selection of beef, poultry, seafood, lamb specialty, and so much more. Or shop online at wildforkfoods.com for same-day delivery. Wild Fork Foods, wild savings that satisfy.
Let's get a lot of calls in here as we move, of course, 9:45 times yours, and Joe and Hugh at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock. John and Manioc right now. Johnny, good morning.
Joe, fellas, what's up, man? Listen, I wanted to call and say really nice, cheerful things with Seth because I had his action figure growing up, and I love talking to him. But here's the thing, dude. Like, I had to sit on hold, and I had to listen to Chuck from Mount Airy. And I don't do the caller-on-caller crime. Let's be clear. I respect everybody. But I had to listen to him just say that, maybe I heard wrong,
that Jalen was a glorified running back. Is that what I just heard?
That's what he said.
That's what I just heard. Okay, here's the thing, dude. I crushed Jalen in 23. He fumbled into the end zone and lost the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear any other thing. That was on him. He knows it, and that's why he came back. The dude just delivered. Now, Seth, I loved Randall. I grew up watching him. That defense was incredible. They had all-time defensive players. Couldn't get it done. McNabb had Jim Johnson and Dawkins and Trotter and everyone on the station we love, all our favorites. They couldn't get it done. They had T.O. too. They had a number one receiver with drama too, just like we have now. Couldn't get it done. Vic was incredible. He was electric. They should write a. They should make it into a movie. They should probably hire the guy who played Weebay in The Wire to play him. That's a different conversation for that because it's perfect casting. However, he couldn't get it done. Jalen just delivered us a Super Bowl, and then he's up 8-2, and you call the radio and say he's a glorified running back? That is delusional, insane. That is
well, it's too far. Yeah, look, it's too far. But I will say, John, within his point is, you know, that caller thinks he's not as good as many others do. And
dude,
you know,
he had a perfect passer rating a couple. I don't even care about that crap, but he had a perfect passer rating against the Vikings a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but John, he's not playing very well right now. He's
dude,
not.
It doesn't matter. He's probably the best quarterback we've ever had.
I can't believe
him a glorified running back is a delusional, insane take. We're 8-2. Go Birds.
It's okay. Wrong, John. And I can't believe you can watch that game last night and say the weather had nothing to do.
I didn't say that.
With well, acknowledge that it had a lot more to do.
I acknowledge
with
it.
What you're acknowledging when you're
and
saying,
they still stink.
When you're saying he's missing throws, I'm saying he's missing throws. Yes, but it's amazingly difficult to complete passes in those swirling winds. You can see it on the other side too. Those quarterbacks couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
I just think you're making a lot of excuses. I get last night was difficult for both offenses. But,
yes.
But Jalen this season has played an awful lot like Jalen last regular season. And you guys know I told you all offseason I thought people hung their hat too much on the final two games in which he was spectacular and didn't focus enough on the, 18 or 19 games that led up to it when he wasn't nearly as good.
He has the potential to be spectacular.
I know
the
that.
MVP of the Super Bowl.
I think
when it matters most.
I think what he does, he raises his level where necessary. I think the most frustrating thing about Jalen is, you know, the same thing with this offense. The offense is a shadow of, you know, who he is and how he plays. He's highly inconsistent. The offense is highly inconsistent in all phases. And it's frustrating because we have so much talent and so much ability. We talked about it last night. I believe that the element that's missing that would put this offense over the top and that would put them on a track where they could be dominant is they've got to run him.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying everything that they can to keep him healthy and to keep him. You know, keep him on the
field.
But
that's what they'll do later in the season.
Well, why not do it now? Because
I think they're saving.
No, yeah, they're saving.
They're worried he'll get
beaten
up.
I'm trying to tell you that you can't.
I don't like it.
I told you guys last year.
But they're still winning.
And nobody wanted to, you know, hear it or agree with it. The reason why Saquon was successful last year because it's the threat of Jalen running the football.
Yeah, that's a big part.
Okay? When he's running the football, You're playing 10-on-11. That's just a fact. Because every time he puts that ball in Saquon's belly, that defensive end has to stay home to keep him from running. Because if he can pull it and he gets outside, it's a problem. Okay? And then where is the read option and the RPO where he's throwing the ball off of that same action? They are afraid.
Well, they are.
Seth,
I'm with you, but here's where I differ from you. I think your point has a lot more, I'll just say the word merit, if they were 6-4 or 5-5. To John's point, by saving him, in saving him, they're still 8-2.
If you want consistency in your offense, that's an element that's been a portion of their offense forever. When they're explosive and when they're doing great things, that's a part of why they are.
I agree.
Okay. And until they get back to that and Jalen starts to play smarter, okay? So the one on the sideline where the guy dove for the back of his heels.
Yeah.
Okay? Just get down. Either get out earlier or get down. You have the first down. Get out or get down earlier. You can't take that shot. And then the other one where they run the draw and he picks up the 11 yards.
Right.
And Anzalone tries to dump him on his head. Get the hell down. Get down. You know, you can protect him that way. But he can't run around out there thinking he's going to be Superman because people are trying to hurt him. But that is such an important and integral part of their offense that they've taken away. Okay, if you add that to what they want to do right now, this offense is unstoppable and everybody's happy because it opens up a myriad of other things in their offense that's missing and nobody's talking about it.
All right, the Merrill montage, how it sounded. Merrill and Mike on the call last night. We'll get to that next. Plus, time's yours. Phone calls and all this. Seth in studio with us till 10 o'clock today. 8-2 football team. Show to camera, John Richards, 94.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
WIP. What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCamera and John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Monday morning with the Eagles. They get a W, another W, 8-2. Thank you to the defense. Offense, brutal, but the defense, spectacular. Now, obviously, back atop the NFC with a big win against a good team that the Eagles obviously stifled last night. In a big way. We'll talk about it. We'll be all over it. Sirianni's press conference, what he said late last night. We'll play that coming up in about a half an hour. Your phone calls throughout the show. Big day with, of course, Ray Dittinger and Seth Joyner on the show. And, of course, all of it. As long as you stick around for the 4 hours with you. 215-592-9494. Richard Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The Spanish national anthem has no words.
Huh.
Yeah, it's one of only four.
Interesting.
Nations that is has a national anthem with no official lyrics.
They just sit there and feel a sense of pride, and pride.
Yeah, it just wells up in you from hearing the sounds.
Well, fly Eagles, fly defense. So let's get to it here, guys. A lot of ways to go, and this is in many ways a formula Eagles win. Although this one was even a little bit. Even more than usual, if you will. Defense phenomenal. Look, obviously this defense is ready to win a Super Bowl. I think Vic Fangio deserves a ton of credit.
But the defense is going to continue to get better.
We'll see. Vic Fangio deserves a ton of credit. Howie Roseman deserves a ton of credit. Players deserve a ton of credit. That was epic. And for 2 weeks in a row now, it now feels like the defense is back to last year. The problem is the offense stinks. And I'm gonna just say that word.
Oh, this is such a ridiculous complaint. Well, again, everyone, calm down.
Well, let me
yesterday those conditions, throwing the football in that kind of wind and that sort of thing.
Yep.
That's really difficult.
I believe
to
you.
Do.
I do believe
and you.
You
could see it. You could see it acted out from both sides.
You could see it. But here's the deal, guys. The offense stinks.
Hang on.
The offense stinks.
No. Okay. The offense needs to play better, but the offense, does Detroit's offense stink? It did yesterday.
No, but the Eagles' offense came in ranked 23rd in the league entering yesterday. The Eagles' offense is bad, guys. Now, it doesn't mean it has to stay bad, and it doesn't mean it will necessarily prevent them from winning a Super Bowl, because obviously they can move through this as they have in 10 games, winning 8 of the 10. They can win the Super Bowl playing offense this way, but it's going to be harder. The offense stinks. Mm-hmm. Okay, it does. It stinks.
It is almost impossible to throw the ball in those conditions, and you saw it from the other side. Did you pick up on that factor?
But I've also seen 10 games.
Come on. This is a professional defense from Detroit that's really good, too. Why is it?
You think the offense?
Why is it? Honest to God, why is it? It's every week. Holy cow! The offense can't do anything. The
defense is brutal to watch. It's horrible.
This group continues to grow every week. No. This group will continue to get better. Chris Collinsworth talked about the fact last night. He said something like, "This defense, I can't wait to see what it looks like at the end of the year." Because you think back to last season. Think back to the way that this coaching staff teaches and develops these guys and develops these groups.
You think
right now our offensive line is a problem?
Yes,
right
it
now
is.
Our offensive line, Lane Johnson finishes, I don't know, one game this season. I don't know how often Lane has been out, but it's been almost entirely I don't know exactly how much.
Yeah, but he misses
a lot of
time.
We know the stats on Lane Johnson being out and us losing games. This year, Lane Johnson has been out a ton. This year, we fail to convert on a tush push because Cam Jurgens is out and Brett Toth can't do the tush push right. He can't leverage out the guy the way Cam Jurgens would. So we fail to convert on our own 30. That was horrendous.
That was a horrible decision by Sirianni.
But anyway, the point is the offensive line has been in shambles.
No question.
And yesterday, I guarantee we had huge plans to do the extra offensive lineman thing. We started out the game doing the extra offensive lineman thing.
It worked, by the way.
Lane Johnson goes out. Fred Johnson has to be the right tackle.
Yep.
We don't have the extra offensive lineman to do the whatever that portion of the game plan was going to be. I hate to see something like that when you know it was going to be a factor in the game and you know they were running it early and they had to go away from it.
Yeah, John, I just think you're going too nitty-gritty. Okay, we've seen 10 games. It's just not a good offense. Now, it doesn't mean it has to stay that way the whole year.
These defenses are good, too, and I am not worried. Yeah. I'm not saying the offense looks great. That would be ridiculous. They scored 16 points. That's not good enough in the long run.
Well, no, it is good enough last night.
I have faith that they will be good enough when it matters. This team is the best team in the NFC. This team has a tiebreaker on everybody that matters except the 49ers, it seems. And we have complaints about how awful the offense is. The offense is going to be just fine. And it'll continue to get better.
Well,
I promise.
All right, we'll see. Look, I mean, you can weigh in, 215-592-9494. What do you make of it? It's just, for me, it's very frustrating to watch such an incredible disparity between what the defense puts out there and the offense. I agree with John, the weather last night was a factor. You could see it with both quarterbacks. There's no question.
It's not just the quarterback, it's the guys catching the ball.
I understand.
It is so tough. You're zoning in on that ball, and it's fluttering. And all of a sudden, instead of being here, it's behind you.
Yeah, now you could see that with both sets of receivers. I thought primarily the Lions receivers, I thought, let Goff down more than the Eagles receivers let Hurts down. But
it was a major
factor. It's just frustrating that with this payroll and this talent, this is what you get. Like, oftentimes. Now, the defense, phenomenal. Sirianni, I don't know what the hell he was doing at the end. It's like, dude, you got to get it together, man. I mean, you really do. I mean, it's two weeks in a row. For a good game manager, and he is a really, really, really good typical game manager, I'd say great. But, man, he has had some whoppers a couple weeks in a row. That was
I don't know if I blame
flat,
him.
Stupid.
It's the 30. That's dumb. In that situation,
stupid.
If I'm a player, I'm saying, man, this guy has unbelievable faith in me. I love that about him. But that was dumb.
It was dumb.
That was too far. But, by the way, he was let down by his offensive line, like I said. Toth was in there at center.
Yeah,
and
but he's
got
to feel
no push.
He's
got to
feel that.
I agree with you.
He's 58 minutes into the game.
He needs to figure out the fact that these replacement offensive linemen, it's hit and miss sometimes.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot to go on here. I don't want anyone to misconstrue. Am I excited the Eagles are 8-2? I am. I just get aggravated that it so often feels like you got to take a shower after the game. And it's a shame because the defense right now it has done something that I did not think was possible, and that's gotten back to the level of last year. Now, the numbers at the end of the year aren't going to speak to last year, where last year they finished number one overall in the NFL. They're not going to. They were in too big a hole after the first, seven or eight games. They're just not going to be able statistically to do that. But with the losses of all the players, one of whom was their choice, CJGJ essentially. But the rest, it was almost inevitable because you had to lose good players because you had too many. Right? You had too many good players in the salary cap world. You're going to lose a bunch. They did. And you knew they were going to take a step back. They did. They took a big step back. But Howie, through draft capital, through talking to Brandon Graham, obviously the Jalen Phillips thing's the biggest deal. There's certainly the resurgence of Jalen Carter. Jordan Davis looks like a force. I wasn't down with keeping Jordan Davis for about $10 million. Howie wanted to do it. Credit to Howie Roseman there. Vic Fangio and Nick Sirianni, who was ever involved in that decision. Look, that one obviously looks like it's working out. He's going to play his way into a big deal. Maybe it's here, maybe it's not. Now you get to the point where you say you hope it's here. Right, a lot of us 6-7 months ago were saying, I hope it's not here. He looks like a guy that's going to get 70, 80, 90, 100 million. N'Kobe Dean, to me, this is me.
He's
looks
playing so amazing.
I put him in the Zach Bond category instead of the Josh Sweat category. The Josh Sweat category was, no I doubt. Don't need him back.
No doubt.
The Zach Bond category was, I need him back. That's where I'm at with N'Kobe. I need
N'Kobe
him.
N'Kobe Dean is unbelievable.
I love the guy.
So, N'Kobe Dean is so fast. I can't believe some of the covering. Yeah. He's doing out yeah. there of top receivers. Guys, 4-2 guys.
It's just unbelievable. So the difference between.
And then he's blasting.
I know. Dude, he strikes.
You try, off, hey, running backs, just try to pick him up and pass, bro. He will destroy you. I love watching him play.
The difference between the offense and defense is stunning. And the defense is saving the offense's ass. I mean, there's no doubt about it. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone calls all show. It's a big day. Bird's got to win. Feels a little icky because of the offense, but the defense was spectacular. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. All right, let me tell you about the FanDuel Sportsbook app. As always, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, it's your home for all of your favorite NFL bets, from yards to touchdowns to who's going to win. With FanDuel, you can make every play the play of the game. And tonight, another opportunity as we get to Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football on your chance tonight with FanDuel as they give all customers a 30% profit boost token. 30% profit boost token. It's an amazing opportunity, and it's right there for you for tonight with FanDuel.com/hammer. That's FanDuel.com/hammer to get in on Monday Night Football. Play your game with FanDuel all the ways you can bet it. Of course, you can peek ahead to that next game. We got another game coming up, and you know, obviously for the local squad. So all the games, all the teams, all the leagues there for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.
It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's a Chickies Monday. We're at Chickies in South Philly. 6 o'clock, the Jordan Mailata show right here at Chickies with Jordan Mailata, myself, Elliott Shore Parks. And then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, also Elliott Shore Parks. Donovan McNabb will join us very soon. Donovan's call will be brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Tire and Service. Go to unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. As we wait for the great Donovan McNabb, we can talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, you're on WIP. What's up, Ed?
Ike, Spike, Fritz. It, go Birds.
What's up, Ed? Go Birds.
Hey,
Birds.
So I don't say conflicted about Jalen, but
Ed,
leaving.
Ed, I got to put you on hold because right now on the show, my button's not working here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
No. You know, Buzz, can you put on Donovan? Joining us right now,
yeah.
The greatest quarterback in yeah. Syracuse University history. The greatest yeah. quarterback in Eagles history. The Eagles' all-time leader in passing yards, passing uh-huh. touchdowns, an illustrious uh-huh. career both on the gridiron and off of it, and of course the most popular, handsome, and accomplished weekly guest of the WIP afternoon show,
wow,
Donovan McNabb.
I'm telling you, you must have got, you got your breakfast, you got your snack. What is happening today?
Yeah.
I like it.
See, come on, man. Yes.
I like it.
How you doing? About that. I don't know about that most handsome part, though.
Well, let's guess.
I mean, we didn't need no comments, Ike. We let him roll. Let him roll, Ike.
So,
what's going on, fellas? Good afternoon to you.
Another day, another win, Donovan.
That's right.
You know, so
hey,
let me ask you.
We can get it, I guess. However we can get it.
Yes, and we get it a certain way, it seems like, right now, and that's ugly. Now, the defense wasn't ugly, right? The Eagles'
right,
defense
correct.
Was swarming yesterday. And uh-huh. I was hoping you could lend some insight because Jared Goff looked terrible last night. It was one of the worst nights of Jared Goff's career. Lend some insight about what it does to a quarterback. We always talk about, you know, pressure, but what it does to a quarterback, and then the effect it had on Goff last night, causing the night he ended up having.
Well, I will say this. I wouldn't say so much of it as being pressure, because we're not known for our blitzing. And so our front four was able to collapse the pocket a little bit and throw off the rhythm and timing of their passing game. Now, they had guys open. And you know, any time that you can get Jared Goff off of his spot where he can't just sit back there on a 3 to 5 step drop and be able to get the ball out to his guys, that now puts him in a position where he has to go off of his number one or two reads, and he ends up in number 3 or 4. And Jared Goff is not known for his mobility. So him getting outside the pocket is a win-win for any defense that they go up against. But I will say, I've seen Amon Brown open a few times. I thought they did a good job versus Jameson Williams. But I look at their offense and not being able to get Gibbs and Montgomery going in their passing game, which had them now just going straight to drop back. It worked in our favor defensively.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that front seven last night for the Eagles, N'Kobe Dean being in the middle, I think it's changed the whole...
I mean, it's a nightmare for a lot of opposing offense.
Yeah.
He's an intricate part of that defense.
Yeah, and I think he's changed the sort of mentality of the way they play since he's been back. They've done a pretty good job of stopping the run just about every week he's been out there.
Well, I will say this too, Ike. I mean, and give credit to Howie and his decision-making, but Phillips coming over from Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Has done wonders for us, because we were missing that pass rush. And not only just pass rush in certain situations, but more importantly, throughout the whole game, where that right tackle has to be very aware of what move may come from Phillips. And he's done a great job, not just in the passing game, but in the run game as well.
Donovan, I also wanted to ask you, the Eagles had a ton of passes batting down Jared
right.
Goff passes yesterday. And
right.
so as a quarterback, forgetting about height, right? Because it's about more than height, I think. How do you, as a quarterback, how do you avoid that? Is there something that you can look for that will let you know that a player's trying to do it? Like, what is the cause of having so many passes batted down, and how do the Eagles, like, do that?
Well, number one, it's annoying for any quarterback, because you see guys open and you're going to deliver the ball, and one of the big fellas, obviously, that's not getting a lot of good pass rush, will just sit back and just throw his hands up. And give credit to Jordan Davis for being able to do that and time it up the right way. And I say that because, you know, a lot of what Detroit likes to do is they will work the middle of that football field. And that's where Amon Brown has been so important in their passing game, because he's a true slot receiver. And so, you know, he'll read outside and get the ball to his guys, but he'll get to this number 2 and 3 read in the progression, and that will be able to, you know, hit LaPorta and Amon St. Brown across the middle. And when you have guys that are 3 techniques or shades or nose guard from the defensive line standpoint, and throwing their hands up as soon as you get ready to release, it really is frustrating for any quarterback and offensive coordinator, because you see the guys open, but you're just not able to get it there. And so what leads to that, and the way that you try to avoid that, is offensive linemen will have to be able to set in their pass sets and also get a good punch to get those hands down from the defensive line standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see that first one that Jordan Davis had got his hands up. He sacrificed. Because he got put on his back.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
He got put on his back for jumping. Yeah,
there's definitely some punishment to it.
Yeah, those linemen, you jump in front of those linemen like that, they normally, when they're taught, right? They hit you when you jump up like that, because it's going to knock you down. Yeah.
At any parts of your body. We're going to make sure that next time you're going to think about throwing
jumping.
Your hands up.
Yep.
Donovan, offensively, it just didn't seem like anything worked.
Right.
When you're watching the Eagles right now, is this a – I imagine it's a little bit of everything, but is this scheme issue? Is it execution issue? Is it – what the hell is going on where it doesn't seem like the Eagles can have more than one sustained drive in any game?
Oh, I mean, I think it's a lot of different pieces. And that I begin to question. Number one, it is key. This offense is not what you've seen, obviously, when Kellen Moore was at the helm. This seems like it's more of a Nick Sirianni and a mix of what the offensive coordinator is trying to do. But when I look at this offense, especially from what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, it seems like, number one, that I don't know who's listening to the crowd or listening to the radio, but that's becoming an intricate part of the decision-making in each week. Because when you look at how many opportunities A.J. Brown all of a sudden had in this particular game, it's really eye-opening, because it's like, this isn't the offense that we see. And a lot of his routes, like I said from the very beginning, are stop routes, is 8 to 10 yards. It's a slant route. It's a go ball. And it's nothing where you see him going across the middle, running a dig route. It's nothing that you see him running across a route that goes across the field with a deep post by Devontae. He ran a dig route, which against Green Bay, which now we had Devontae running from the slot over the top, which if that safety jumps the dig, then we take and go over top with Devontae, which led to a touchdown. But I just don't see any creativity in this offense. And when you don't have any creativity in this offense, your play-action game is null and void. Because when we do run the ball with Saquon, there's no running lane. And so I'm big on the attempt of how many times we run the football. But at some point, you got to have an explosive run play in there. And to be honest, the offensive line is not opening up enough holes where we can get Saquon to be able to burst through and get one-on-one versus a linebacker or safety. I mean, we ran the what was that, third and short play? And he ran in the back of the offensive lineman that was getting pushed. Yeah. And so it's when I look at this offense, and everybody wants to look at, obviously, A.J. not getting attempts, or Jalen's not throwing them the football, this offense is boring. And Drew Brees said it on ESPN, it is boring. I mean, from the offense that I've come from and the offenses that I see all across the league, this offense is I don't know if he's trying to be methodical, meaning, hey, put yourself in second and medium situation and third and short, instead of where's the explosive play? Where is the post and corner combo? Where is getting Jason on the corner and throwing it back to a guy that's 25, 30 yards downfield? I don't see that. Everything to me, and we, you know, I love that he's completing 70% of his balls, but it seems like everything is like 12 yards and under.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are complaining about when it comes to the play design. Five, take me into the mind, or take us into the mind of the quarterback when you're in the flow of the game and you see how great or how good your defense is playing. Right. The other team isn't necessarily putting points on the board. Is there a mindset there that says, you know what? I'm not trying to win the game by making heroic throws. I'm going to take what the defense has given me, and we're going to play that way. Because I'm just wondering from Jalen's perspective, the last 2 weeks, he sees the way his defense is playing. So he's trying to make sure he doesn't give away a possession by being careless with the football. Does that go through a quarterback's mind when you see how the flow of the game is going?
No, not necessarily. I think when you start the game, and I'll just recap the game a little bit. Not long ago, it was on TV. The first couple passes that Jalen threw, I mean, he had, three drops?
Yeah.
Like he had three or four drops. And then we had the penalty with Lane on one of the scrambles that was down the sideline when Saquon dropped the ball on a scramble drill, and it was a penalty. But there's no rhythm. There's no rhythm in this offense. And so that's why you see so many consistent three and out. But I think from a mindset from a quarterback, no, we're not playing cautious football. We're trying to push the ball downfield and create those explosive plays, because you know how the momentum shifts. If the defense is playing well, all it takes is one particular mishap or missed tackle or whatever on the opposing side, and all of a sudden now we got to dig into the bag and try to be creative. No, in the offensive game plan, you have to, at least your first 15, you got to have at least three shots in there. And so it could be on first down. It could be on second down when maybe they're bringing seven and we only can block six. Then, you get the ball out on the side adjust or a hot read. But then you come back and all of a sudden you cross the 50. And where's that explosive play? I don't see that explosive play. Like when you get to the green area, and that's when you get to that 40 yards, 35 yards, yard line going in, that's got to be more of your explosive plays. Where's the creativity? You know, and I just don't see it. So, I know everybody is probably a Philly or whatever is probably going to, you know, hey, we need to get rid of our coordinator. You know how many coordinators that man has played under? So at some point,
Different one every year.
Yeah,
like, different one every
like
year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we make so many excuses for all these other quarterbacks, you know, but this man has been successful no matter how we look at it, how bad it looks or whatever. They're winning. Now, he's shown, obviously, in playoff play that he can turn it up another notch. But in the regular season, it's been bad. It has. But the thing that we do as quarterbacks is we have to do whatever it takes to win. And we can say that they've obviously been doing that.
Yep.
All right, Donovan. Appreciate it as always. The Eagles. I'll tell you, this Eagles team of the last 2 years, I've never seen a team win so many games and then have us come in and
look so bad.
Ask what went wrong. Yeah, the next day, it's something special.
Well, I will say this, and I'll add to what you're saying, and I think a lot of it too is just all the whispers and all the conversations that become hot topics. If they don't become hot topics, it won't be that much of an issue because, look, I think the fans will just understand what it is that they're seeing, and they're waiting on that big play to help us win the game. I think the conversation of, you know, how come certain people aren't getting the ball or why aren't we doing this and how come he's not running the football like he used to. But you got to take a lot of things into account of what we're seeing right now. Coming off of a Super Bowl run, no matter if you win or lose, there's injuries. There's people who want more money. There's all of a sudden interview requests. There's a lot of things that go into what they're doing. And it's going to be going, I think at this particular point on, and I can tell you, it's going to be more rumbling going forward. And if they continue to win, at least it'll quiet it down until it goes south.
All right, Donovan, we will talk to you next week. We got Dallas coming up on Sunday who – you know,
yes,
not a great team, but certainly can put up points, you know.
Yes. Yeah, they're struggling too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch.
All right, Donovan.
All right, big dog.
Thanks as always,
man. All right,
man.
Now y'all take it easy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, as we are the day after Eagles games always. The Jordan Mailata Show at 6 tonight with Elliot, Jordan, and myself. And then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks. So the Eagles will be without Lane Johnson for an indeterminate amount of time. It seems like at least a month. He has a Lisfranc sprain and will miss 4 to 6 weeks. So you had a Lisfranc injury at one point?
Yeah, I had this very injury. And I got it 3 of us got it that year. Deuce Staley got it in like the second or third week of the season, maybe the fourth week of the season. It basically ended his season. He needed surgery.
Okay.
And I think this was 02. It was 01. Yeah, it was 01. And I got it, and another player got it. Rod Smarter got it. And he and I both got Lisfranc sprains in the last meaningless game down in Tampa. We had to make up the Tampa game from 9-11.
Yep.
And it didn't count for anything at the end of the year. We were already in the playoffs. And I got injured in that game, so I missed the playoffs. The only games I missed in my career was that postseason. And I say that to say my foot wasn't back right until that April.
Oh, wow.
Sometime that spring. So now there's always varying degrees of the sprain.
Yep.
I'm just saying the worst ones is the one that needs surgery because that takes almost a year.
And it's at the top of your foot?
Yes.
And
mine was the fifth metacarpal in my foot.
So what I wonder, and from my long history talking about feet injury mm-hmm. with the
So
the
you see
Sixers.
Your hand?
Yes.
It's a good example. You got your hand out like this.
Yep.
So like these are your toes.
Yep.
It's this area.
So is one of the issues there, I know there's not a lot of blood flow in that mm-hmm. area. Is that one of the issues with
yep.
the healing? There's not a lot of blood flow in that area.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
the blood flow issue?
What? No. The different blood flow issue
that we were
talking about
that.
Before. Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man?
So, you know, it's been, you know, we've been beat over the head with, and it's true, the Eagles do not have a great record without Lane Johnson. Mm-hmm. Fred Johnson, I imagine, will take his spot on the offensive line. The thing that that is obvious, Fred Johnson's done a good job filling in for Lane, but that is a step down. The other place it hurts them is not being able to use Fred Johnson
yes.
as that sixth
yep.
offensive lineman, as they've been able to do, that had helped them run the ball pretty well mm-hmm. for a couple of games there leading up to the bye week, which means who would be it? Would it be Pryor?
Pryor, right?
Pryor yep. in that spot. Mm. And I wonder if they even try that at all with Pryor instead of Lane. You know, the good thing is it seems like if this goes according to schedule, they have Lane Johnson back for the playoffs. I think at this point, hopefully he's back before then. At this point, with the lead they have in the NFC East, the fact that the rest of their schedule is not nearly as hard as the first part of their schedule was, those mm-hmm. two Commanders games look a lot easier than they did. No game's easy, but hopefully we have him back at full strength for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's the way you probably have to look at it.
And I will say my injury was 25 years ago.
Yes.
Medicine
yes.
has advanced.
Yes.
So, you know, what took me longer to sort of heal just through rehab and rest, there was no corrective surgery. There was nothing. It was just basically getting rehab and trying to get the, like you said, the blood flow back in there. So maybe he's able to come back in 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep.
Like I said, it's 25 years. And so they got the technology and the medical advancements now that these guys come back from injuries a lot sooner than we did 2 decades ago.
Well, and the good thing is, so they've had a lot of offensive line injury problems this year. We had the you know, about a month with Landon where he was mm-hmm. in or out. Cam has had the injury
issue.
He still
isn't fully healthy.
He is not. Then Lane's out. What I hope is, and that is part of the good reason them stacking those wins earlier, you end up having these injury issues. You can get them back for the playoffs. Luckily, you're 8-2 and not 6-4
right.
in this spot.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
What's up, fellas? How you doing? What up? Ike, what's going on?
What up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, let me first say this, right, to everybody out there. You know, we all have opinions when we call this radio station, okay? Nothing is true. We're not true. We're not false. We're not liars. We're not, you know, we're not reporters, none of that. We are all callers. We have opinions. And let's just have a certain level of respect for each other. And I'm not talking indirect. I'm talking to you, OG Wade. Have respect. When you speak my name, okay? When I see you, I want to still be able to say what's up to you and keep it moving. Jalen, you don't know Jalen from a can of paint, all right? We all Eagles fans in this situation. I'm leaving that there. Now, let me get into this game yesterday, right? I just want to say this. It's like me watching two different teams. You know, I hear you, Ike, when you say we're 8-2, and I want to be happy we're 8-2. But how can I be happy we're 8-2 when they're not even happy they're 8-2? On the offensive side, the defense is fine. I mean, they flying around, you know, they're front side of the ball, they hitting, you know, they communicating, they giving each other a top five, you know, that it seems like two different teams, you know, on the same team. How are we supposed to be happy at 8-2 as fans when we see all this stuff that's happening around our organization and around this number one seeded Eagles team? It has a chance to repeat, and they don't even realize what they got in front of their face, that the offense, they look miserable. The coach, the quarterback, you know what I mean, the wide receiver, you know, the running back, even Saquon, he don't have the same smile on his face. They all look miserable, man, on that side.
They're frustrated. Well, they're frustrated they're not playing at the level they expect to play.
Yeah, so here's the thing. You know, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to feel good and feel like, you know, we got a chance.
Yes.
No.
Hold on. No. Hold up. Hold up.
No. Couldn't last week you said?
Oh, no, let me handle this.
Okay.
Let me handle this. Because you just told me last week that you were no longer going to nitpick at the wins. You're going to enjoy the team because you didn't enjoy the season last year, and you looked up before you knew it. They were in the Super Bowl and had won the Super Bowl, and you had missed out on an entire season. You just said this last week. All it took was for one game for you to go back to that, and it's a game they actually won. They actually won the game, and I'm trying to bring you back to my side of things, Chuck. That's all. That's all I'm trying
to do. Don't let
them do it. I understand the frustration. Believe me, in the midst of the game when it's happening, I'm frustrated too. I'm yelling at my TV. I'm with everybody else. But then when that clock hits 00, and we have more points than the other team, I take a sigh of relief and say, "Whew!" But that's another notch in our belt. We're 8-2. We're on to the next one. This was a tough stretch. We still got two more games. Four games in the span of 18 days. Four games. We're through the toughest part of that four-game stretch. Now we got to go to Dallas and smack them around next week. And then we got to smack the Bears around after Thanksgiving. And then you know what we're going to be, Chuck? We're going to be 10-2, Chuck. 10-2, and you're still going to be mad at the team, Chuck.
I told you. I said Jared Goff, whatever the ball's name, he was a fraud. Okay, I said that if I take a Vic Fangio defense over Dan Campbell offense any day of the week, and I was right. But
yeah,
I'm just saying, you know, my brain is bleeding, man, watching this offense. I'm at the point now where I just want the offense to score 16 points in the regular season and get out the way. You know what I mean? Just, you know, I want to see this defense now. I'm excited when the defense come on the field. I'm with you. Perplexed. How can you be so good or be so bad at the same time? And I'm still enjoying the win. Trust me.
Okay.
But we ain't going to sit here. This quarterback looks terrible. The offensive play calling, designs look terrible. I don't even know where to start at. I want to feel good, trust me. And I don't think there's a team that could come in here and beat this team. And I tell you, the NFL better be thanking their lucky stars their offense ain't got it together. And if they do get it together, they're going to be in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Chuck.
Anybody coming for them is going to be in trouble. But I'm just
saying,
man,
before you go, Chuck. No, let me tell you this. Let me assure you of this. The offense will get it together well enough to get us that second Lombardi. Just remember I told you that.
I do.
If they'll get it together just like they got it together enough last year to get the other one. They're going to do it again this year. They will.
You know why I believe that, Ike?
Yep.
One reason why I believe that.
Because I told you.
That's one reason, but I hear another reason, right? The reason I believe that, right, is because I believe the Eagles play poker. They're not showing the whole hand. The dynamic of the game is going to change in the playoffs, and that's when they're going to add Jalen Hurts' legs.
I think they got a six and a two.
And that's what I believe. But, you know,
hey,
8-2, I take it, man. Peace.
All right, Chuck. 215-592-9494. We will have Nick Sirianni talking before 4 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. I'm sure there'll be a lot of fun questions for Nick. 215-592-9494. What Chickies and Pete's in South Philly? Catch all the Eagles action at the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. That's Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Down and was blanketed by Rocky. And as all the murmurs go through the link, the punting unit comes off.
Not that kind of murmurs either. This is, you know, you can't do that, you know, as a receiver. You got to assume you're going to get the ball.
Yeah, Collinsworth not pulling any punches last night. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. An outstanding win led by the defense. Offense, not so much. That was
outstanding.
It was an outstanding win and an outstanding defensive performance. The offense last night not doing the job, and they have it now for a couple of weeks posted by 215-592-9494 to react to this. All right, we'll get back to the phone lines in a minute, but let's unpack the AJ thing from last night. Because we talked a lot about it last week. Obviously, it was the biggest story around the Eagles. Then into the pregame last night, how many times did they throw A.J. the ball? Well, they threw it to him a lot last night. In fact, too much. I thought that was forced. I thought it was over the top. And I thought it was completely inefficient. Some of those throws, like that screen pass to him behind the line of scrimmage, that's not the kind of player he is. He's not a quick twitch space guy. That was dumb. They forced the ball to him in coverage a couple times. I just thought it was the kind of game plan that if they had lost the game, I would have sat here and said, you guys ruined the game because you tried to make A.J. Brown happy. So I didn't love how many times they threw the football to him last night. He made a few catches. Wonderful. But I didn't think it was great. That one that Chris Collinsworth talked about here. Let's hear A.J. talk about it, because it certainly looked like he throttled down a little bit there on that deep shot. Let's hear
AJ,
it.
AJ, there was a deep shot late from Jalen to you down the, I think it was down the sideline. What happened on that play?
Constant hand fighting down the field. Just missed, you know. Not just saying he missed, but like he just missed.
How much does the weather...
I couldn't get to it.
He said I couldn't get to it.
Did he say constant hand fighting?
He did say.
He's 6'1", 226. He's going up against a backup corner.
See,
hand fighting?
I still think AJ can play. And when I tweeted that out last night, people got mad and they asked, why did he give up on that play? I don't know. I feel like, and this is not an excuse, but I feel like a lot of times, and he needs to get out of this. I know you're frustrated and you feel some type of way, but you got to play. Because you never know when the ball's coming your way.
Yeah, of course. This second time, this happened in the, was it the Rams or Broncos game earlier this year?
You got to give maximum Broncos effort, man, because you leave yourself open for people to say what they're saying, that you've lost a step. And you can't, you have to figure out a way to put whatever you got going on from Wednesday to Saturday. You got to put that aside and be locked in for Sunday.
Yeah.
It starts during the week, man. You got to figure that out.
Look, he's still with his frame good enough and physical enough that on slants he could box people out.
And that's what I saw. He did that a couple times last night.
He did, and he could still do that. I think he'll do that until he retires. I just don't see the explosiveness in him like I used to. He's not as explosive as he used to be. I think, so like, when he throttles it down, can he get back up to top speed as quick as he used to? I don't know. I mean, that was a weird play last night where you figure he would have had a better chance to get that football.
I don't think his heart's in it, and it needs to be.
Well, then he shouldn't get 11 targets then.
Well, it was one of those things where you saw the ball was coming. You got to get locked in, man.
Yeah.
You can't turn it on and turn it off like that. You got to be locked in all the time.
All right, let's hear, and you referenced this a little bit ago, let's hear Jalen Hurts talking about those 11 targets to A.J. Brown last night.
A.J. had 11 targets tonight. Was there more conscious effort maybe to get him involved early and keep trying to feed him the football?
Yeah, just going with the flow of the game and how it was called and trying to go out there and execute.
There wasn't like effort to get him the football.
That may be a KP question.
This is as good as this team is, man. This is where, and I'm not picking because I don't feel like arguing with y'all today. But I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm gonna speak my truth.
I don't know where you think you are.
No, but I'm just saying because
I
need you to hear what I'm saying, because at the end of the day, if the main thing's the main thing, if you really believe that in your heart of hearts, you don't say stuff like that because you know what it could potentially mean in a town like this. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Like, you leave yourself open for me to do exactly what I'm doing. Like, question or guess what you're really trying to say. All you had to do is say, yeah, man, we tried to get him involved. Simple, easy, keep it moving.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're the leader of this squad. And you say that, now the follow-up is, oh, what does that mean? Like, you're throwing Kevin Petula under the bus. And for y'all that don't know football, y'all always want to talk about what Kevin Petula – yeah, I'm Ryan Clarking y'all today. Because I hear a lot of people last night talking about, well, it's Kevin Petula's fault. Okay, it was Brian Johnson's fault. Who else's fault was it?
Kellen Moore's
fault. I mean, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Something's wrong. Something, and I'm not putting it all on Jalen. I'm not doing that. So don't come at me like that. But something's wrong with this offense.
May I just throw one extra thing in there? And I don't disagree with your overall premise right now, right? Like, all the years the passing game stinks. There's common denominators, right? At some point, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I need my head coach to provide something more than rah-rah speeches. He's an offensive coach who provides zero offensive acumen. Nick Sirianni, and I'm not trying to make it like Nick's got a, he won the Super Bowl, and he's an 8-2 team. He's obviously mastered this role of like CEO guy. But goodness gracious, part of the reason the offense is up and down every year, Hugh, is their head coach. Like, this doesn't happen to the Rams. Doesn't happen to the 49ers. Doesn't happen to teams with offensive head coaches. Like, every time this comes up, Sirianni gets totally off the hook. He can't be. He's an offense, his background is offense. He provides nothing there.
I got a crazy idea.
Go for it.
Why don't he try take over play calling?
Nick Sirianni?
Uh-huh.
Didn't we see this in the past?
Can it be worse, Joe?
Can it be worse? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. But I know whatever's going on between AJ and Jalen, they need to fix that. I think, never mind, I'm going to keep that reckless speculation to myself. I was about to.
You're live on the air.
I was about to recklessly speculate, and it didn't.
What stopped you before?
I mean, I don't feel.
Well, hold on. Now your stuff actually has base. There's base to your claims now, and now you're going to stop recklessly speculating.
It's their founders.
It's less reckless now.
Oh yeah, shout out to Urban Fryer too. He's an Omega Sci-Fi. I remember Omega Sci-Fi. I forgot about that. No, I'm not going to do that. But
you're so confusing sometimes.
No, because
I'll recklessly speculate then, but you don't want to. Jalen Hurts is pissed because he knows that AJ's not running the same and not given full effort sometimes or can't run as much. And he probably sat there last night like, why are we calling all these plays to him? Like, why do I have to throw him the ball 11 times? Because he complained? Like, if I'm Jalen Hurts and every time they're in my ear telling me the play, I'm like, oh, I got to go to this guy again. I'd be pissed too. Devontae Smith has been the more efficient receiver by every metric. The only people in the world that want more AJ targets are AJ Brown, the people that bet on his props. And it's people that wear his jersey. That's it. No one with eyes thinks that he's better right now. No one with eyes thinks that AJ gets open more than Devontae. So if I'm Jalen, I'm like, are you bleeping kidding me? I got to throw the ball 11 times this guy because he doesn't shut up. That's how I feel. I think that's what you heard last night. He's just more diplomatic because he's a $50 million a year quarterback. I'm just an idiot on the radio so I can say what I want. But that's what I heard. And now you said what you heard last week. What I heard last night from Jalen was, bleep this. I don't want to throw him the ball that much. Bleep it.
I'm proud of you, Joe.
He's not open.
That reckless speculation.
And he doesn't run hard.
That reckless speculation did me proud. I feel good. I feel so warm and fuzzy inside because I'm rubbing off on you, dog. I mean, we have bonded in a way.
Well, you said you had reckless speculation. You didn't want to share it, so I did mine.
I was way in left field. Well, I don't want to go there. But the way that these two cats are beefing. You know what this reminds me of? What was it? Jason Kidd and Jim Jackson. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And Tony Braxton.
That's an old school one.
Like, no. This one kind of reminds me of that.
I haven't thought of that one in a long time.
Like, that's me recklessly speculating. But it feels like it could. And I know both of them are in relationships, but I'm just saying, the feel of this beef.
You better stop now.
No, I'm just saying, I'm recklessly speculating. Yeah. I said that first, so don't get in your feelings. The way that they're beefing, it feels like that. You don't beef with nobody like that. MOB.
I didn't think we'd get to the kid Jim Jackson thing. I think we'd get there today. All right.
God, I didn't read Kyle.
can we get to Sal Pell? Sal Pell, a little explanation on the report we first heard Friday. This was John Clark had the report about Jeff Lurie going down and having a discussion with A.J. Brown.
Big Dom facilitated.
Which is very important in all this. Let's also hear Sal, what he said about that meeting at the Eagles practice on Friday.
What can you add on what's going on with A.J. Brown this week?
Well, what you didn't see, Michael, and what you didn't hear was a very unusual thing happened on Thursday at practice. Highly unusual. A meeting on the field between A.J. Brown, the disgruntled wide receiver, and team owner Jeffrey Lurie, facilitated by Chief Security Officer Dom DeSandro, who is also an assistant to the general manager and in charge of coaching game day operations. So DeSandro goes over and talks to Lurie on the sideline at practice and then motions for A.J. Brown to come over. And there are three things that you can take away in the details that I've got from this meeting, which was first reported by NBC 10 in Philadelphia. Number one, A.J. Brown pledged to the owner to cut down on the number of social media references he has to the team's offense, basically tone it down. It was a very amicable meeting. A.J. Brown was contrite. At one point, Jeffrey Lurie said to his wide receiver, "You don't have to apologize to me." Again, very friendly and very amicable. The two of them hugged after about 10 minutes, and then A.J. Brown went to practice.
What'd you take from that, Hugh? The main takeaway for me was if the owner is going up to a player practice and telling him to tone down the social media stuff, it's gotten to a point where he's annoyed.
Well, yeah. And it's not good for what the team is ultimately trying to do.
Yep.
I go back to what do we think this team is and what exactly are they? When you talk about the look at it like this, people. We arguably have the best defense in the NFL right now. It's not supposed to be that way, but that's what it is. It's not supposed to be that. You're supposed to be the Detroit Lions averaging 30 points a game, and your defense is supposed to be complimentary. Like, that's what it's supposed to be. But it's not that. And there's some frustration with that. There's a lot of frustration with that. Because when you look around the NFL on paper, what this team was last year and what this team is this year, they're not supposed to be in games where you're talking, it's a team, or at the end of the score. Mm-hmm. And it's not supposed to be that.
They've been in them kind of more often than you think this year.
The last 2 years going into this with the new coordinator, with the philosophy and all this other stuff, this team has struggled a lot of times to score. When you talk about the talent that we've amassed, we got two Hall of Fame tackles. We got a really good guards. We got a Pro Bowl guards. We got Pro Bowl centers. We got Pro Bowl running backs. We got a Pro Bowl quarterback. And we got two Pro Bowl receivers. Mm-hmm. That's a loaded roster. And we're struggling mightily to win games.
So they have scored this year 20 or fewer points in 5 of 10 games.
And we're okay. Like, listen. We're winning. But when you talk – see this, and this is the thing you have to understand. When you're talking about the money that's allocated, all jokes aside, I know y'all don't want to hear it.
We don't.
But when you talk about the money that's allocated to this side of the ball, the offensive side of the ball, they are grossly underachieving. Grossly. And they've done it under every offensive coordinator that they've had. And then here's the kicker. Offensive coordinator leave, go somewhere else. And he does well, but y'all don't want to talk about that. And again, I don't know what's going on over there. But Brian Johnson got the young man down there in I'm about to say Dallas.
Washington.
But because I was cooking. And at the Commodores, he out there balling.
I'm putting my foot down on the Brian Johnson thing.
Hold up, though. Spencer Rattler out there with Goober.
Oh, God.
Spencer Rattler was in the top 10
this
year.
No, he was in your top 10.
Your top 10 doesn't count.
He got benched.
And don't give me the Tyler Shuck
name. No.
Number 2 quarterback.
Tyler Shuck. Tyler Shaw.
No. This is the second time in 2 weeks that you put your take in somebody else's mouth, by the way. This is why people talk about.
Crazy.
Putting your own take in someone else's mouth?
The bottom line is this. Something's not right.
Something, but when do we stop expecting things that we thought to be true when we know they're not true anymore? 3 years we've been saying this offense should be great. It's not great. They're not a top five offense. We have created this thing where we think they're a top five offense. We just say they should be, and we get pissed when they're not. They're not!
And then, you know what the crazy part is? When you look at our schedule, we might run into
I know! They're going to be favored in every game except Buffalo. And in fact, they might be favorites in Buffalo.
Philadelphia is a soap opera. This is the young and the restless.
Welcome in, man.
They're going to be favored by a lot in Dallas.
I love it.
Over the Bears, over the Chargers. They're going to be favored in every game, save for maybe the Bills, and they might be favored there, too.
And Jalen about to ask for some more money.
Well. And that's where we got to put our foot down. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, pal?
Hey, Hugh, we got to put our foot down on Jalen Hurts asking for some more money, man. We got to put our
He about to ask for some more money, though. Give me some more career.
Hold on.
That's how these things go.
And that's going to be a flat no. That's going to be a big old no.
What you going to do?
What are you going to do?
No, you're not.
For someone who protects your money, you sure are willing to give out free money to players when they don't deserve it. Apologies to Bryce Harper. Pay Hurts more. Has no sound.
Speaking of Bryce Harper, have you seen the pictures?
I don't want to talk about it. What is going on with that? Go ahead, Terry.
Are you sure that's him?
Hope it's not.
Hey, guys. I told y'all Friday that Mr. Jared B. Rabbit Golf was going to fold under pressure. He was going to throw up his mom's spaghetti. And what happened? He couldn't take the pressure of the Philadelphia Eagles, guys. Jared Goff is nothing but a regular season quarterback, guys, and we saw that last night. I told Dan Campbell put these guys, he put his team in bad positions time after time again. What it was, he thought it was sweet. He thought it was sweet to keep going for it on fourth down, so his ass got his team under the gun, and these guys to totally underperform. Dan Campbell, everybody praised this guy, right? This guy is a fault of a coach. He makes these bogus decisions, and he did it time after time again, trying to challenge Fangio, and the Godfather came in there, and he showed him what it was to play facing an elite defense. Guys, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, they're going to be the reason that we don't repeat as Super Bowl champions, I'm telling you right now. I don't know what they got going on. We saw some of the throws yesterday. Hurts threw some half-ass throws to A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown ran a lot of half-ass routes. Guys, we should have blown this team out yesterday. I don't know why Devontae got one catch, Joe, as you were saying, and A.J. got 11 targets. Devontae got one target out of the whole game, guys. And A.J. Brown, I don't want to hear any more complaining about the offense and what you don't get, because you do not get separation. You run like an old-ass man on the field. It's hard to watch. Guys, Jalen Hurts is starting to look like Trent Dilfer, bro.
Ooh.
The defense is carrying this team. Mm. He's starting to remind me of Trent Dilfer, guys. The defense is carrying this guy, and I'm going to start labeling this guy. I'm going to start calling him Jalen Trent Dilfer Hurts in a minute, guys. The coordinator, Petullo, guys, he was awful yesterday. Jalen Hurts was awful yesterday. And Kevin and his patty cake offense he's running right now, to me, it's not looking like a good partnership between him and Jalen Hurts. It's starting to be painful to watch, guys. And look, Vic Fangio is the MVP. He was the MVP last year, yep, of this team. He's the MVP this year of this team. And we got to start giving Fangio praise. This guy might be the key point of the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
He's the most important piece, Terrence. There's no question. Terrence, we appreciate him. And look what's happened to this defense in the last 2 years. They've been the best defense in football.
94 WIP, breaking news.
All right, some breaking news here. Eagles injury last night. We saw Lane Johnson leave the field, according to Adam Schefter, John Clark, Elliott. Everyone has this here. Lane Johnson suffered a Lisfranc injury during Sunday night's win over the Lions. It is not expected to be season-ending, but he could be headed to injured reserve. Hmm. A quick search on this on Lisfranc. 6 to 8 weeks seems to be.
You got to have surgery, right?
I think so. At times,
well, I think,
not always.
Well, I know Deuce had this back in the day, and I remember him. He was gone for the season, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Jalen Mills, the Eagles corner, had it.
But that
in
was
2018.
Back in the 1900s.
Yeah, back when you played.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
That's up. Now we have modern medicine.
Jalen Mills a little bit more recent, 2018.
The 1900s is crazy.
Is it fair to say we don't see him to the playoffs?
Probably.
I don't think we see him to the playoffs.
Brandon Graham time.
I mean, 6 weeks from now, and I'm just, that's one thing I saw with Lisfranc, but 6 weeks from now is, they have what? How many games left in the season? They have 7 games left?
Yes.
I don't think he's playing to the playoffs.
Yeah. And it's not like Fred Johnson's been bad.
No, but
he holds up at least.
The issue, though, is Fred was the sixth O-lineman, right? They were using a lot of sixth O-line sets.
Yeah, they were doing that funny formation.
So that's out now. Or they're going to have to use someone else as the sixth offensive lineman. So it kind of chips away at the depth. Look, this isn't like losing Prime Lane, because he's not been himself this year and he's been in that anyway, but it's obviously a big loss. I mean, Lane Johnson is a tremendous player, and I was confused he was even back in on Monday night and they're not on the injury report this week. I don't know if this is something brand new or he was dealing with it and they got through it, but it is it's a tough one. So Lisfranc injury for Lane Johnson. We'll see what the timetable is. They said, you know, they're reporting it's not season ending. My guess, just based on other players that we've known to have this, is we probably won't see Lane Johnson again until the postseason here. So, Hugh, the thing for me, they're 8-2. They have the division wrapped up. We want the one seed, but like they have to be careful with him and just give him as much time. As long as he's there in the playoffs, I'm good.
Yeah, because you're going to need him. You're going to need him. You know, just looking at the schedule moving forward, like I said, it's a chance they could run the table. And there's no team that really in the postseason that looks like they scare you, because the ones that you're more than likely going to see, you've already played outside of Seattle.
Yeah. The Rams are the only one that I think has played well against the Eagles.
Yeah.
Right? The Lions didn't play well. The Packers didn't play well. The Bucs didn't play that well. The Rams played well. The Eagles just came back and took that game from them in the end. So, all right,
it's
we'll
crazy
keep
this soap opera heating up, though.
Well,
The soap opera.
That's the Eagles. It always is. All right, 215-592-9494. We're going to get back to everyone's phone calls. We had a lot going on that hour, especially with the stuff from Seth and D-Gun and all the stuff coming out with AJ last night. All right, so you get back to your phone calls and all this. The offense, the defense, what stood out to you the most? I love the way this defense is playing. And to me, with how good they are on defense, with Vic Fangio, with possibly and likely home field advantage, this team is good enough defensively to get back to the Super Bowl. I don't love the offense, but the defense is what stand out to me the most. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls. And we've waited 2 hours on it. We try to let this breathe because everyone's excited about a win, and that's the lead. But can we please talk about the Sirianni decision at the end of the game? We did it again. I mean, we did it Monday night. He threw the ball on fourth down. And then last night, on their own 29, up 10, with less than 3 minutes to go, they went for the fourth down. Obviously, it wasn't converted. Let's talk about the Sirianni decision, his explanation for going for that tush push. That's next. Your phone calls. It is the Midday Show, as always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.